main Easter sermon will be next week. It technically is Palm Sunday, and that would have been good also, although our kids are busy cooking and feeding us a French dinner tonight. But we will go in the direction of the Old Testament on life after death. Part of the reason for this is people argued with Jesus. The Sadducees liked temple ceremonies, but Sadducees in Jesus' time did not believe in life after death. I find that really surprising, because the people who ran the temple 2,000 years ago liked all their ceremonies. They had a huge menorah with lights. I mean, they had to climb up them on ladders, huge lights, you know, pour the water out from above and the water of life is coming. They had all these ceremonies. They had lots of trumpets playing from the temple walls. But the people that ran the temple in Jesus' day, the religious leaders, did not believe in life after death. There are some verses about their disbelief. Matthew 22:23. On that day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection from the dead, that are going to come and argue with Jesus. And Jesus will show to them that the Old Testament did teach the resurrection after the dead, but how do you read the Bible and not believe in life after death, even just reading the Old Testament? But they didn't. Acts 23:18, they said that the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, nor angels, nor spirits. Now, maybe the reason this interests me a lot is that years ago I did a speech in Kansas City, and actually the state government is the one that organized the speech, and we were at the mental hospital, and they invited all of the pastors and anybody who wanted to in town to come to the speech on mental illness. And after the speech on mental illness, a rabbi got up and was upset because he said he did not believe in angels or demons, so it's kind of dumb to talk about whether mental illness has anything to do with demons, because there's no such thing as demons, and those people usually don't believe in the resurrection either. So it doesn't happen too often, but they were like the Sadducees in Jesus' day. They didn't believe in the resurrection. At that time, it helped, though, because the Catholic chaplain of the mental hospital did believe in demons and the resurrection. He's the one that invited me to come. And the Kansas City news reporter from the newspaper stopped it all and said, "I believe in angels, spirits, demons, and the resurrection." But there are some who do not believe in the resurrection. There were some in Jesus' day that do not believe in the resurrection that ran the temple. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some Old Testament references on life after death, and then come back to Jesus' teaching. As time permits, we'll go through the Old Testament and turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. That's the last chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12. And verses 1 through 3 is very strong on life after death. And I'll go ahead and read Daniel 12, and I'll read verses 1 through 3. Now at that time, it's the future, Michael the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of great distress, tribulation, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those, here's resurrection, Old Testament, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. These to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Going to go both directions in the book of Daniel. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever. Now it says many will awake. Now at that time, at the end of the tribulation, many will awake. Others will have awake at the rapture when Jesus comes for the church. So all believers will be raised, but there are different times. That's why it says at this time, many, many at the end of the seven-year tribulation, many of the Old Testament Jewish believers will arise. He does give both directions, some to life, some to punishment. But here in Daniel chapter 12, that's Old Testament. It definitely teaches life after death and definitely teaches the resurrection. So why would you not believe it? But the Sadducees did not. Jesus' enemies did not believe in life after death. Now come with me to Psalm 16. We're going to get David believing in life after death. We have Daniel. And now Psalm 16 will have David. Psalm 16, the copyists believed that David was the author, and so that's why they put this inscription just before verse 1. In verses 10 and 11, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Can be the underworld, but can mean the grave. Probably interpreted here as the grave, because the next verse talks about decay. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, to the grave, neither will you allow your Holy One to undergo a decay. You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. So it was believed to be that David wrote these words, and David is saying here in verse 10 that he would not be in the grave forever. He also talks about the Holy One. The Holy One is likely a reference to the Anointed One. The Hebrew word is Messiah. And the Messiah would not undergo any decay. The Talmud actually says they decay on day 4. That's why they were all worried about Lazarus. He's been in the grave for 4 days. That is how they interpreted it, that the decay would begin on day 4. But the reference here is that the Messiah would be raised from the dead before day 4. So the Messiah will be raised from the dead. He will not undergo decay at all. But even with King David, he will not be abandoned to the grave forever. And then verse 11, he is going to go into God's presence. I don't know whether you count it as a same text, but if you go over to Psalm 17, verse 15, same thing, life after death. Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. So in Daniel chapter 12, the Jewish people, Old Testament saints, at the end of the tribulation, they will awake. And unsaved people will rise and go to punishment, but believers will arise and shine. Daniel. Now we have David here in two different chapters. And when I wake up, I shall see your face. So I don't know how you... I don't know how you be a Sadducee in Jesus' time and you say there is no resurrection, and they would actually say the real Bible doesn't teach it. We'll get to that later, why they could say that. Maybe I'm making you work too hard, but let's go to Isaiah 26. The next one will be Job 19, if you want to go ahead and do two of them, but Isaiah 26. We will look at some other verses, but our main verse will be 19, Isaiah 26, 19. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn. And the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Earlier talked about in verse 14, dead not rising, but these are unsaved people. And they don't belong to God. And then he talks to the Lord in verse 16 and verse 20, is the Lord, come my people. So you're dead, the Lord's dead, they will arise and shout for joy. Looks like they're going to get up from the dead, God's people, and they're going to worship. Of these books, probably the next one, the book of Job, was the earliest written. At whatever time the book of Job was written, the events in Job are before the law of Moses. There's no reference in the book of Job to the nation of Israel, so it's before they got in the promised land. And actually, a little more important, Job himself was doing the worship services. He was sacrificing the animals and doing the worship services. So it looks like at the time of Job, there was no priesthood. There was no temple. There was no law of Moses. And I'm saying all this to say that Job was a very early written book. And Job 19 talks about life after death. Now, we could say that's only Job, but we've already read verses where it was everybody. So it's not only Job, but Job 19, 25 through 27. As for me, Job, I know that my Redeemer lives. At the last day he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes shall see and not another. Then it closes where he's actually feeling pretty good about all that. The Redeemer. Redeemer means to buy something. You know, we can redeem something. It means to pay for something. So Jesus paid for our sins. And actually, all people belong to him. He is their owner. Although this is singular, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer will come back. My Redeemer will be the ruler. And also, he's thinking about the future time, at the future time when the Redeemer comes back to rule. Job teaches that he would rise from the dead. He will see God. He will not be sleeping when he rises from the dead. The reference to that theologically is soul sleep. It's the idea that when people die, the definition of sleep in the Bible would mean that they are unconscious. However, that's a false conclusion. When people die, they are conscious. And absent from the body, present with the Lord, conscious. So here we have that eventually he will be resurrected. And again, this is the oldest story in the Old Testament, and already basically before Moses wrote the books. I mean, already at that time, Job is saying that he would rise from the dead. There is life after death. Next, we'll go to Isaiah 53. Now, we waited on Isaiah 53 because it mainly talks about the Messiah. Messiah having life after death, but there is a reference in Isaiah 53 that he has paid for our sins. So, you know, the implication is that all our sufferings were paid for and that we can have life after death too, but it's mainly talking about Jesus, the Savior, having life after death. Let's just glance at Isaiah 53. We can see the last line of verse 4. By his whipping, stripes, scourging, we are healed. Close of verse 6, the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. That's kind of a picture like in the Old Testament. They would bring animals to the temple and they put their hand on it. And that was a picture of sins being transferred to the account of the animal, and the animal temporarily covering for the sins, not permanently. Jesus is the full sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist quotation, John 1:29. But our sins were on him already in the Old Testament. Animals were temporary, but he was more complete. Now it talks about he will have life after death, verses 8 through 10. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. As for a generation who considered he was cut out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, for whom the whipping was due, the stroke was due, going to die. Messiah will die. Verse 9, his grave was assigned with wicked men. He was with the rich men in his death, but he had done no violence, nor there was any deceit in his mouth. The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. He would render him as a guilt offering. And now we get to the resurrection. He will see his family, children of God, his offspring. He will prolong his days. He's going to die, but he's going to live again. He's going to have long days after his death. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So, a reference to the Messiah mostly, but it does say our sins were paid for also. Secondary implication, we will live after death. So depending on what we do with Psalm 16 and 17, there are at least 7 Old Testament teachings of life after death. How could the Sadducees then say there's no life after death? Seems like the Old Testament taught that rather clearly, that there's life after death. Well, liberals who ran the temple said we have to have it from Moses. We haven't quoted any Moses text yet. And they would tell Jesus, it has to be from Moses. We don't care what Daniel says. We don't care what David says. That's amazing. We don't care what Isaiah says. We don't care what Job had said. We don't care. We have to have it from Moses. And if we don't have a Bible verse from Moses, we are not going to believe in life after death. So we'll get to Jesus' answer real shortly. Although I do want to say that the Old Testament itself added all these lines that when a person died, he was gathered to his fathers, or he was gathered to his people. Now that sounds like life after death too, and there are 14 of those. In addition to the 7 I just read out of the Old Testament, there are 14 gathered to his people. And we could say, well, that just means a cemetery plot. But that wasn't true of the main Old Testament characters. Abraham's family was buried in Ur of the Chaldees. We'd say Iraq today. And then he moved to the Promised Land. So Abraham was not buried with his fathers or grandfathers. Gathered to his people, best interpreted as life after death. Moses was not buried with his ancestors. They all died in Egypt. Moses left Egypt and brought the people in the Promised Land across the Jordan. So they're not, you know, he's not gathered to his people. When Moses was gathered to his people, it doesn't mean he was buried in Egypt. Matter of fact, the Lord buried him overlooking the Jordan River. So we have all these 7 or 8 verses, life after death, and we have all these gathered to his people, which is best interpreted as life after death. Sadducees, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to believe that. We have to have a verse from Moses. So that's why Jesus made the argument that he did. And come with me to Matthew 22, where Jesus will argue with the Sadducees. They don't believe in life after death. They don't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus is going to argue with them, and he's going to give them a Moses teaching. We will look at this in 3 sections and give most attention to the last, but in Matthew 22:23, I quoted it earlier. On that day, some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and questioned him, asking, "Teacher, Moses said if a man dies having no children, his brother or the next of kin should marry his wife and raise up children for him." Well, Moses did say that, Deuteronomy 23. We're not under the law. We don't have to do these things, but Moses did say that. Here is a hypothetical illustration. Now, there were 7 brothers with us, and the first married and died, having no children, and left his wife to his brother, and also the second, and the third, down to the 7th. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the 7 will she be? For they had all married her. So they're just kind of making this up. You know, Moses did teach this. We're not under the law of Moses, so we don't have to do this. But there were all these 7 brothers in this hypothetical story. She was married to all these 7. So the resurrection would be a mess. There can't be any resurrection because nobody could figure out who this wife should be married to. And they made this hypothetical story an impossibility there'd be life after death. That just seems ridiculous. But in the next section, Jesus taught there is no marriage in heaven. Their hypothetical story that said there's no resurrection is ridiculous. That's verses 29 and 30. But Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven." Jesus answered, "You don't understand the Bible. You don't understand even the Old Testament. Angels do not marry, and there is no marriage up above in heaven. So your silly illustration about 7 brothers marrying this one woman, and whose will she be in the resurrection? The whole illustration is hypothetical, man-made, and the whole illustration is you don't understand the real Bible. You're all mixed up. There's no marriage in heaven. What's that got to do with the resurrection?" And now, the main section of the resurrection, gonna shut them up. Verses 31 through 34. "But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Then the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. Kind of be quiet and go away. Show us from Moses. We won't believe the other Bible texts. It doesn't matter if Job said it. Doesn't matter if David said it. Doesn't matter if Daniel said it. Doesn't matter if Isaiah said it. We have to have from Moses. So Jesus quotes Moses in the burning bush, Exodus 3:6. And Jesus shows it is important to pay attention to Bible details. And in the Bible details of this, it's not I was the God of Abraham centuries ago. It's not, I was the God of Isaac centuries ago. It's not, I was the God of Jacob. It's, paying careful attention to it, I am still the God of Abraham. He died 600 years ago, but he's still around. I am still the God. I am still the God of Isaac. He died 500 years ago, but he's still around. In the burning bush, I am still the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. All these people that died centuries ago before the burning bush, God is telling Moses centuries later, they are still alive. I am still their God. There's life after death in the Old Testament, and there was life after death in a story of Moses. In all these Sadducees, they said we have to have it from Moses. Okay, so here's a Moses story, kind of the main one. Have you not read? That's a nice way of saying you don't know the most basic things about the Old Testament. So, detail 7 non-Mosaic texts about life after death, buried and went to their fathers, life after death. And here's a life after death. More on the New Testament. Now, Old Testament, trust in God, bring those blood sacrifices and let Him figure it out later. More is coming. A deliverer is coming. Now we know more. Must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I am the resurrection, the life. Then, the last part of that paragraph, no one comes to the Father but by me. The only way to come to God in heaven is by trusting in Jesus as Savior. And He paid for our sins on His death. He rose again, and He will give us eternal life. And life was taught in the Old Testament, whether the Sadducees liked it or not. The musicians, please come.